you, Jesus, for your healing power. Thank you for your healing grace in our lives. Lord, we just invite your Holy Spirit to come and touch us, Lord, as we stand and in this moment and just think about you. We meditate on you. We meditate on your goodness, Lord. Sovereignty over the universe. We confess you are God. We confess you are our Creator. We confess that you are Jesus Christ the Lord. We confess your word is your very word from your mouth that we're to live and obey and practice. Has it changed? We confess, Lord, in your grace that we're saved by grace alone, by faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. We confess today in the marriage that you've established, the covenant of marriage between a man and a woman. We confess today in the family unit that you have set up. And Lord, I ask that you'd help us to live lives that are honoring and pleasing to you. And we give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated this morning as the children are dismissed. And I'm afraid you'll have to set these notes aside this morning, but I would like to, there's some other things that God has laid on my heart to share this morning, but I really want to pray that God will move and speak. And so Lord, I just pray, God, that you would have your way and even that you would speak through a human, a sinful human like me. Lord, that your word would go deep into our hearts and that you would change us. Lord, we don't want just another Sunday or another sermon or more music, but we want you, God. We want to be changed by you. We want to be touched by you. We want to experience you, God. We want you to be real in our lives, Lord. And so, God, I pray that your word would just convict us, Lord. We pray for a heaviness of conviction. We pray for a power of your Holy Spirit to be over us as we look at your scripture today, as we hear what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. As we were worshiping today, the Lord had laid some specific things on my heart. And I remember back in a time when I was pastor in another church, and I was sinking deep and deep and deep and deep and deeper and deeper into depression. This was before I was married. This is when I was single and I was struggling to grasp that whole identity and I was struggling to grasp what it meant to be content, what it meant to be in that place. And, and, And there was those nights that were so lonely and so dreary. On top of that, there was plenty of spiritual warfare going on in the particular church that I'd planted. There was a woman there who had dabbled with practicing with witchcraft, and she had the power and control over the church and all of that stuff. And so I remember being in my house at night, just walking back and forth, pacing back and forth, ready to grab my hair and pull it out. I was so depressed. I was so frustrated. And then there was nights where I was in bed, or in the mornings and days that I really didn't want to get up in the morning. I wanted to stay in that place where I could sleep and escape everything. It was a place of great oppression. It was a great place of I was going crazy. Like, I just wanted to hit my head against the wall. I wanted to pull my hair out. But I want to say that there's a specific thing that God laid on my heart today in the scripture. A couple things. One being the woman with the issue of blood. She had a problem, a health problem for many years. She went to every doctor but could not be healed. And this is a fact in the Bible and the Word of God. And she comes to Jesus, and if I could just touch Jesus, she touches Jesus. Jesus touches her, and that issue, that struggle she had for years, gone. Jesus is real to heal. And I want you to know that sometimes God heals some of us instantaneously like that. Sometimes it's a process. For me, with dealing with my insaneness, with my craziness, it's been a long process of overcoming. But I will say that God intervened in my life in a big way. One night I had a friend that brought a guitar over and played worship. I felt like Saul, he was playing the demons away from me. And God came through in that way. And then God sent two exchange students who played soccer and were busy in school. So I had to get up out of bed and get out of the house. And they brought joy into the household. We would sit and laugh over dumb things at the dinner table and that. And to this day, I consider those two boys like just like sons. Tanya and I just visited them when we were in the Ukraine. One's from Belgium, one's from Germany. But God intervened and has brought me to this place where I was at. I was living in a place of destitution, of self-loathing. And I thought to follow Jesus, it meant that I had to do whatever would beat my life up the most. And I had to go into that place. And yes, as we've been talking about, God has called us to suffering because that is His way. But there's such a thing called trials and tribulations and persecution. But there's also such a thing as demonic oppression and self-loathing. That's not of God, and it doesn't refine, and it doesn't change our lives. And I would like to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 17, verse 14. Matthew 17, verse 14. And I just pray that God will help me today. We're here and today because we confess and believe that there is a God, and perhaps some of us are here all at different places. Maybe we're just starting to seek God out, or maybe we've reached the end of our rope, and maybe you're in that place where you're pulling your hair out, where you just cannot see any end or light at the end of the tunnel right now in your life. I want you to know that there's hope. And I want to say, try Jesus. Try God. I think because God loves us so much, even though sometimes we don't want God, even sometimes we don't want Him to intervene in our lives, He allows us to go through certain things. He allows us to experience the destitution of being taken over by these demonic spirits or be taken over by our own sinful flesh, that we reach a place of loathing where we're literally eating the grass, so to speak. Like a guy in the Old Testament did. So that we say, yes, God, I recognize you as the sovereign Lord of the universe. In an instant, there's healing and power. But look what happens in this text. This is a powerful text, and I don't know why the Lord just dropped it. And I was so excited about preaching this, so you got to come back next week unless God changes it again next week. Because God is, there's some awesome stuff that God revealed there too. But there's a time for everything. Verse 14 of chapter 17 of Matthew. Listen very carefully to this. I don't like to talk about this past part of my life or this testimony, but I don't know, God just put it on me. But and when they came to the crowd, a man came up to him, kneeling before him, and said, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and he suffers terribly. For often he falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not heal him." And Jesus answered, "O faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him here to me." And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was healed instantly. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" He said to them, "Because of your little faith." And I can't help but say, you know, God, do you want me to preach this morning? God, do you want me to really want me to change this? And all throughout the joys and concerns, there was this message of have faith. Get the stumbling block out of your way. Have faith. I said, okay, God, I got the message loud and clear. This is where we're supposed to be this morning. "For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." Now picture this. Picture the plight of this father coming. I have a son. He has a demon inside of him, and that demon causes him to throw himself into the water to try to kill him, because the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy, trying to destroy a life. If there's a fire, that demon would move the boy to move and get into the fire. So I'm sure he had all kinds of burn marks on him. I'm sure that he nearly drowned many times. And can you imagine the stress that was on the dad, even in the family? Always had to watch him 24/7. They never knew where there was going to be. They were going to be walking along town and there's a well, and all of a sudden that demon, that boy, would just charge towards that well or that pool. Somebody had a little fire and was cooking dinner and selling McDonald's down in the market in Jerusalem. He would charge towards that fire and it would literally cast him in that fire. He came to Jesus, "Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy." And I think that's the first place that we have to come to, is when we are in these places of dire straits, when we are in this place of I can't seem to get this demon off my back, I can't seem to overcome this problem, I feel like everything is crashing in on me, I feel like no one can get me free, there's no doctors, there's no medicine that'll help, there's nothing, where do I turn to? He says, "Lord, have mercy." There's a lot of power in that praise. And the word mercy means to show kindness when someone is in distress. It's God looking down and seeing the trauma that this boy was going through and this family was going through. It's Him having pity when they were dealing with their depression and struggle and the sweat and the tears and the burns and the bandages and all the baggage that comes with it. Have mercy. Have mercy. He even tried to come to the disciples. He comes to the church. He said, "I came and they couldn't deal with this problem." And then Jesus talks about a matter of faith here. He talks about a matter of believing in the power of God. And the disciples had a long ways to go, didn't they? You know, they had to go through the cross, the resurrection, Jesus being seen by 500 witnesses at the same time. And then because of the truth of that, because they saw miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle, finally they got it. Finally they believed. They understood. And they began to move out. And they were even to the point of all the apostles gave their lives for the gospel. This is not a hoax thing. There can't be 500 crazy people at once to make up a story that are now willing to die. They had faith in this God. Jesus said, "O faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." It's almost like Jesus. Could you picture? He's like, "My disciples, how long? Bring him here." He cast the demon out of him. He didn't have to drum up any emotion. It was just, "Come here." Cast the demon out. I don't know where you're at in your life today or what God is doing in your heart right now at this moment. But he says, "Bring him to me." If you can't bring yourself to Jesus or to God to say, "I need healing," then have a brother or sister or a friend or a family member bring you. If you are at a place where you just can't, you know you want to receive Jesus, you know that you want to receive healing, but you just can't get up and ask for it. Look around you. That's why there's all these people around you. Jesus says, "Bring them here." There's someone in here that can maybe bring you today. Whatever that means. And I'm not talking about just coming down to this altar and coming down to pray. It could be when you're at home, you can call somebody up and say, "Could you come and pray with me? I need to have faith. I need to come to Jesus for healing in this area in my life. Or I need to come and to put my faith and trust in this Jesus when I haven't had faith." Jesus rebuked the demon and it came out of him, and the boy was healed partway, it says in verse 18. He was instantly healed. You know, anyone that says this whole Jesus thing is a hoax, there was miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle of what Jesus had done, and many, 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 many people saw it. Even people that weren't his disciples. There's a historian, his name is Josephus. He wasn't a believer that we know of. He was a Jewish historian, so... But he wrote and recorded and recognized that Jesus truly did rise from the dead. Which is the linchpin of our faith. If we have faith, the grain of a mustard seed, just to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins, our lives can be transformed. Now, what about the disciples here? They pulled Jesus aside privately. They're already embarrassed enough. Can you imagine the crowd of people gathering around Jesus, and this guy comes, "Your disciples couldn't cast him out." And you can see Peter, the loud one, probably sneaking back in the back. So then he was... Probably they took Jesus aside. They had to go in a home or a house or somewhere. Jesus, what happened? What's wrong? Why didn't it work when we did it? And he said in a simple way, "Because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." Nothing will be impossible for you. Nothing will be impossible for you. Is that true? What Jesus says? Or is it some pie in the sky thing that, you know, Jesus really didn't mean that. He was just trying to emphasize that we need to have a little bit of faith. If God has called us to do something, and you know that it's the will of God, it says in the Scripture, for our sanctification. In other words, to get rid of sins that beset us. To get rid of things like I dealt with, like depression. To get rid of other addictions to lust or things that are in the way in my life. God has called us to have faith in the Son of Man, in the Son of God, the one who said, "It is finished," on the cross, the one who has risen from the dead. He says, you know, it just takes a little tiny bit. Mustard seeds are small. And I know Christian, a long time ago, when I was in the Ukraine, it seems like a long time ago, brought a little mustard seed. It's tiny. Just a little bit. Peter. The guy that goes overboard, you know. Simon the Zealot. That's one thing he didn't go overboard was have faith. Do you believe, congregation, Christ Community Church, do you believe in the power of God to remove these demonic spirits from your life? Do you believe that God has a plan and a purpose? And you might be in a place like I was, fighting against God. And there are still days that I fight against God. But praise be to God, when He heals, He heals. When He delivers, He delivers. When I fall down, He picks me back up. When I fall down, He picks me back up again. And that is the power of Jesus Christ. He says, have faith, rise up in faith. So it's time for us to stop wallowing in our puddles of mess and struggle. And if you need someone to help you come to Jesus, that's why we're here as a body of Christ. He said, bring him to me. Bring him to me. We're not in this thing alone. The parents cared so much about the soul of the child. And I think what parent wouldn't? If you're about to lose the life of your son or your daughter, you would go to the ends of the earth to do anything out of desperation. Yet as followers of Jesus, we have one of the most power-packed messages here, that if we would just have faith, we trust, we believe. I think maybe why God stopped us in our tracks on this, because we've been talking about suffering and it's God's way. Although it's backwards to us and backwards to the world to suffer and to go through trials and tribulation. But how do we endure? We endure by faith. We endure by this belief that we can cast demons out. This faith that we can be healed from the sins that beset our lives. That we can be healed in our minds. And I want to tell you that those times when I felt like I was literally going crazy, and you say, well, you were a pastor, you should have had things figured out. Well, I did have them figured out. But I just chose not to believe what I had figured out. Yep. At that time, at that moment. I don't really have a need to move mountains or hills. Do you? We don't. Not right now, maybe at least. There might become a situation that you might need a mountain removed. But what Jesus was saying, he's saying, you know, that seems almost impossible to you and I to say to that mountain to move over here, and the mountain kind of just suddenly gets legs and it just goes over here, you know? The highest mountain in West Virginia, what is it, Spruce Knob. Spruce Knob just says, well, he told me to go over here, so I'm going to go over here. You have a burden in your life. If you have faith in Jesus, you can say to that sickness, to that sinful struggle, the victory has been won in the cross. Do you want God to put you in your right mind? You know what puts me in the right mind is not only to have faith, but what builds faith? Faith comes by what? Hearing the Word of God. So, you know, I look at the Word of God as like, you know, when you read it and you put it, it's like a download. All these brain pathways are just all messed up and they're going all different directions and they're all
really screwed up, and Christian's thinking you look very ridiculous right now, but you know, that's okay. Yeah, okay, thank you so much. Yes, everybody do that. Everybody do that. Oh, try it. No, I'm just kidding. You all look ridiculous. When you read God's truth, it washes your mind. All those crooked paths, all the craziness gets straightened out. Because what we think is backwards in the world is what's right in God's eyes. And this is what's right in God's eyes. And when we get in it and we wash ourselves in it, we will be clean and we will be healed and we will be set free. Have faith, believe in the Son of God. Put your trust in Him. Oh, you of little faith. Don't let Jesus say, how long am I going to have to put up with you, Mike? How long am I going to have to put up with you? I've made the way. I've died for it. I've suffered for it on the cross. And I've risen again to give life to you, to give healing, to give hope. Believe. Believe. Faith. That's all I have to say today. Father, I just pray right out now, all over this room, there are barriers and distractions in people's lives. And so, Lord, I just pray for a release right now of your Holy Spirit in my life and the life of my brothers and sisters, Lord, of increase of faith. That we believe you are who you say you are and that you're going to do great and mighty things. God, for the person that's confused right now, I pray that you would straighten out the confusion with the truth of who you are. God, for the person that is doubting right now, or Lord, that just doesn't seem like there's a way of escape, the God, that you show them that there is a way of escape, because what we see and hear right now is not the reality. What the reality is the truth of your word and your eternity, the things of heaven. God, I pray that you'd reveal the things of heaven to us right now, that you would reveal the power of your Son, Jesus, that you'd spiritually open up our eyes, God, that you would cause your people, cause us, Lord, to live in faith. And God, we confess we've been faithless. We confess we've doubted. We confess that we've tried to trust in our own shenanigans. We've tried to trust in medicine or people or other things, Lord. It doesn't heal it. It doesn't do the job. And we need your help. Have mercy, God. Have mercy, Lord. We ask for you to touch our lives. I just want to ask today, if we just keep our eyes closed, and you're here today and you just want to be prayed over today, I just want to invite you to come. As a matter of fact, could we have the worship team come and go back to that first song, Water You Turned Into Wine? As they sing the song, as you sing with them, and you know there's something in your life right now that you need to give up, you need prayer for, I want to invite you to please come. Don't wait. Have faith today. If you're feeling urged in where you're sitting and you just can't quite pry yourself up, tell your neighbor, pull me up. Bring me down. I'm going to believe today for a miracle.